We're just reflecting on the year from a Catholic perspective here at Catholic Answers Today. We're in our second hour of that. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. In the first hour, we covered the most inspiring news stories of the year as chosen by our Radio Club members. We covered the Catholic media outlets of the year as chosen by our Radio Club members. The two most inspiring stories, one of which we held off talking about, and you'll see why we held off talking about that as we go through the remembrance of the year. The two most inspiring stories turned out to be pro-life, just the general sense that the pro-life movement is going well, that it's making progress in the courts and the states, and young people are very enthusiastically pro-life. But the number one most inspiring news story of the year turned out to be a guy threw the Pachamama into the Tiber River. People were inspired by that, and so we will talk more about that. I can promise you this hour we will devote a more than adequate amount of time to Pachamama and all of that. The Catholic media outlets of the year by a long stretch from between number two and number three. EWTN was number two. So number two, and pretty much if you added up all the others, it wouldn't equal what EWTN did at number two. And then, of course, it's our radio club. So Catholic Answers won. And I was actually a little disappointed because I wanted Catholic Answers to do better than it did. So, but that's inspiring for me. I'll do a better job in the coming year so I can get all of your votes and none of your votes. Somebody, one person, Catholic Media Outlet of the Year, Fox News. I don't know. Is that like, I think that person is just sticking it in our eye a little bit. Like you, I don't even.
So are the four votes for relevant.
You weren't supposed to mention that on the air. Why are you mentioning that right now?
I'm sorry. Out of thousands and thousands of votes.
Yeah. So four people did vote for Relevant Radio, which to us is funny because they fired us. Okay. Because they fired Catholic
Answers. No, we quit.
Yeah. No, we did not quit.
We offered them the show.
We give everybody the show. You got to fire us to get rid of us.
Relevant Radio may have Catholic Answers Live for free.
Mm-hmm. Like everybody else gets it
for
free.
Absolutely.
Including Cradio. In Australia, that's Catholic Radio Australia, yeah, Cradio.
That's cool.
That's right. That's I love that. Yeah. I love saying that. on in Australia. You can get us wherever you are in Australia just by going to the internet and finding Cradio. So Catholic Answers is the media outlet of the year, according to Catholic Answers' biggest fans, but only barely.
I love our fans.
Yeah. All right, what do you guys want to do first then? Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, and Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. Do you want to do positive trends or negative trends? Here's the problem with this, because when we do positive trends, you guys are going to turn it negative somehow.
Why don't we try negative trends and we'll find the silver cloud.
There you go.
Whatever it's called.
All right. We'll do some negative trends. And
silver cloud is a kind of Rolls Royce, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Silver lining, a beautiful Rolls Royce. Yeah, right.
Silver lining, I think, was what we were.
I know.
After.
I was mixing metaphors.
Oh, what's the cloud one? A bright. There is a metaphor of a cloud.
Yeah, it's the silver lining.
Oh, every silver cloud lining. Is a silver lining.
And you said silver.
Silver cloud.
Cloud.
Oh, I was being clever.
Was being poetic.
Were you? Sorry.
Let's get the listeners to vote.
All right. Is Chris Check clever enough? You know what? I found out if you don't want to know, don't ask people because they'll tell you they like the radio station
that fired
you.
The last survey we're ever doing.
All right, negative trends. And some of these will come up again in story of the year. Lack of belief in the true presence. That's one of them. Mm. And there's a bunch of negative trends. People had quite a few here. Mm. You know what I'm talking about. There was that Pew Research report.
60-some%.
Yeah, Cy, this is tied to liturgy. It's tied to many things. It's tied to catechesis, of course, but it's tied to liturgy. If the liturgy looks like a sacrifice, if it's beautiful and it's reverent and it's in a beautiful building with beautiful music and it's reverently offered, then belief is going to be encouraged by that environment. We are sensory creatures, right? So if we're worshiping a school cafeteria, then real presence belief is gonna be affected by that. It's gonna diminish. And then the other problem is catechesis. And the silver lining there is, or the big flash of silver is Catholic Answers. We are laboring every day in the vineyard to restore catechesis.
The fact it is, it's also true that just the explosion of Catholic media, of which we are a part. I mean, EWTN in every way exploding. There's hundreds of Catholic radio stations where there were literally fewer than you could count on both hands 20 years ago across the United States. There is a lot of silver lining there about restoring belief in the real presence by teaching.
I think this is the legacy of Carl Keating. You look at this building, which started in his this building didn't start in his garage. This apostolate started in his garage, and now it's almost 50 employees. But it isn't simply the growth of Catholic Answers and the reach of Catholic Answers that is Carl's legacy. When he started his apologetics work in that post-conciliar period, apologetics and catechesis, to quote a bishop friend of mine, was a wasteland.
Yeah.
It was a wasteland.
Right.
And Carl stepped out into that wasteland like a voice crying in the desert. And now there are many, many more Catholic media, local and international ones that, than there were, than we even know. Right?
Yeah, right. Far more than we know.
Yeah,
like people sign up for our School of Apologetics to learn to be apologists, to learn to do this. I mean, we have just the first course out, but already it's hotcakes. Like people want the first course in the School of Apologetics.
So Carl's legacy is this apostolate, but the many, many other apostolates that are that didn't exist when he stepped out. And I think it is cause.
You're right. So you guys can take a negative trend and turn it positive.
Yeah.
You're just oppositional. If I say something positive, you say something negative. If I say something negative, you say something positive.
That's not true.
No, that was clever. We can both.
Let me add to what Chris just said. And you'll read about this in the 30th anniversary issue of the magazine. When Carl started the magazine in 1990, here's the people he brought on board. Patrick Madrid.
Wow.
An unknown apologist at the time.
Yeah.
Wannabe apologist. Mark Brumley.
Oh my gosh, he didn't know how to hire people, did he? Wow. Right
Matt Pinto. So Matt Pinto started Ascension Press. As everyone knows, Patrick Madrid is probably the biggest Catholic radio host.
After certain parts of the country. Yeah.
And Mark Brumley.
In certain limited geographic areas.
In a handful of small markets.
Go ahead.
And Mark Brumley is the president of Ignatius Press and has been for many years.
And all just wonderful
and Matt Pinto,
contributors to Catholic culture, too.
Not Emmaus Press.
No, Ascension Press. He founded Ascension Press. He's the founder of it.
Among other things. And also an intern at the time, our own Todd Aglioloro, who is now the director of our publishing. He was the first intern in the 90s. It's an interesting
story.
People
that Catholic Answers launched, Leah Darrow, Matt Fradd, Jason Evert. A lot of people have
Rosalind
come out
Moss.
Here. Rosalind Moss. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sister Mother Miriam.
Mother Miriam. So anyway, I'm piling
Patrick
on.
Patrick Coffin.
Jerry
it's
Usher.
True.
Well, I don't know if Jerry Usher launched Catholic Answers. Catholic Answers didn't launch Jerry
but,
Usher.
But the institution had to be there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So Carl deserves a lot of credit.
Amen.
Here's another negative trend of the year. Suicide rates rocketing. I will let you comment on that, but I will just say this. Suicide rates are going up. It's horrifying what is happening. The hopelessness is terrifying. But I would just like to say this. If you start legalizing suicide, you're going to get more suicide. That's what happens when you treat it like it's no big deal. You cannot have a culture that is simultaneously promoting suicide and preventing suicide. You pick one. You can't serve two masters. You can't go down two roads at the same time. There are two roads, the way of life and the way of death. And there is much difference between the two, as the apostles taught. And we're a sick society when it comes to this.
Yeah, and Archbishop Paglia has to be called out on this. And Todd Aglioloro did a superb job at Catholic.com. I recommend people go and read it. Paglia, who said that he would go and hold the hand and accompany, which is not even clear what that means, accompany someone who was euthanizing himself or committing suicide. The church cannot be a party to this.
No.
Father Hugh, when he was here visiting us yesterday, drew an excellent analogy. When the church tried to get rid of dueling, what she said was, priests may no longer appear at duels to hear people's confessions. And guess what? Dueling went away.
Yeah. Well, we do have, I mean, death is very, very hard. You know, even you hear the saints like Thérèse of Lisieux, it takes so long and it's so hard to die. And there is, it's not a failure of character that people lose heart during the process of dying. Women lose heart in the process of giving birth. These tremendous periods of suffering, they do break the human spirit sometimes. And if we're not there to say, Mom, keep pushing. You're going to make it. And if we're not there to say we're here with you, but we're saying here's another option for you, we could just kill you right now. Then we're doing a terrible disservice to people who are in a very understandable moment of distress.
The years of dryness, for example, that St. Teresa of Calcutta felt.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. We do live in an age of despair. I'm not relating that to St. Teresa of Calcutta, but what you said before. We have to, the hope is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep telling people that. And by the way, this is a duty of Christians.
Yeah.
It's in canon law. It's an obligation. If you're confirmed, you have to bring that hope to people and you need to be able to articulate that hope. So if people are committing suicide, it's because it's a lack of hope.
Yeah.
And it's because no one has told them about Jesus Christ and explained all that Jesus offers, the infinite that Jesus offers.
We're covering the news of the year this year. We're covering negative trends of the year as chosen by our Catholic Answers Radio Club listeners. I'm going to do the next three all together because we've got a lot of these negative trends of the year, but also I think there is something of an organic connection between them. So I'll let you comment on them after I say the next three, and then we'll do the top two negative trends of the year. Pope Francis being ambiguous, that's a negative trend, according to some of our Radio Club members. The division between liberal and conservative Catholics, traditionalists versus everyone else, that's how people phrased it. And then the third of these that I'm grouping together, clergy misbehavior, abuse, scandals, all that kind of thing. So basically, people see negative trends in the life of the church. That's why I gathered these three together. None of these are in the top two, but people aren't feeling good about the trends in the church.
The ambiguity from the Holy See is a cause of real concern and a cause of distress for a lot of Catholics, and understandably so. But Si, to that I would say, and I don't mean to be flip or glib, I really don't. There's a difficulty in our age that is exacerbated by the instantaneousness of the media, and that is that we really tend to take popes too seriously. And try to imagine a Catholic in the 14th century. He probably didn't even know who his bishop was, or he never would have seen him, much less who the Pope was. And so now every single time the Pope says something, now it becomes a media event. And I think that if this sort of thing distresses people, they probably ought to just start to...
Don't pay attention.
Yeah, don't pay attention to
it. Don't pay attention to what CNN says about what the Pope said or whatever. And then pay attention to the Pope. Like when an encyclical comes out and that kind of thing, then we should take seriously what the Pope is saying.
Now, I do think that the Pope has been asked to clarify some things and he has not, and he should.
Okay.
And four cardinals, two of them who have gone to their reward, asked him to clarify things in Amoris Laetitia. And there's no reason for him not to do it. And he ought to do it. And that would bring a lot of peace to people.
Fair enough. What do you make then, Tim, of the other parts of this, particularly the liberal-conservative divide in Catholicism? People see that as a negative trend.
I don't know which is the chicken or the egg, but it's the same thing, I think, in general, what's happening politically, socially. There seems such a chasm between the two sides, whether we want to call them liberal-conservative or traditionalist and progressive, et cetera. It's discouraging. I don't have know what to say positive about it. It's very discouraging. It seems like the polarization is only getting worse. And I was listening to Archbishop Sample a couple of weeks ago on our show. It was wonderfully inspiring. You know, when he was talking about, look, it's bad, and no one's going to downplay the gravity of the situation. But in the history and the life of the church, there have been much worse times. You know, and we know who wins, and that's what we want to let people
right.
know.
I have to take a break. I'm really sorry. We'll get to the top two negative trends of the year as voted on by Catholic Answers Radio Club listeners, and then we'll do the positive trends of the year at a certain point. Yay. Before the end, we're going to get to News Story of the Year and Catholic Person of the Year right after this.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Check out EW10's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Reviewing the year this hour on Catholic Answers Live, Tim Ryland, our guest, is the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine.
Yes, not the publisher.
And I know.
He sits to my right.
And the head of everything around here at Catholic, well, the vicar of everything around here, the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check.
Does it come with like a cloak or something?
I know you should get some article of clothing if you're going to be a vicar. Yes, yeah. A cape maybe. Yeah. The top two negative trends, and I feel some caution about how we discuss this, but you guys are grown ups, you'll know. But they kind of go together. One of them is acceptance of homosexuality in some parts of the church, and. I'm not going to change the wording. This is what people said, and then we'll talk about the wording. And then the top negative trend was the LGBT agenda in the world, and especially in film. And then people emphasized gender ideology. So they threw all of that together. The reason I'm careful about the word homosexuality is because it's not really a church word. Like it doesn't have a meaning in the Catholic context, but we talk about
By the way, heterosexuality is not a
no.
Church
these
word
are not
either.
These yeah, are not right, Catholic words. Right, we don't categorize people these ways.
So no, we talk about person,
but you understand what people are saying is there's a kind of movement to normalize sexual relationships that are contrary to what the Lord has taught us about chastity. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's disturbing.
Yeah.
People, but when people mention gender ideology, I think they go beyond that. There's just a general surrender of reality. We no longer are even acknowledging the reality of male and female. He created them. So it goes beyond just sexual acts, but it's hard thing to put in context, but we want to always stress that homosexuality, heterosexuality, these are not terms that come from the church. These are terms that come from 19th century psychiatrists, and people are people. We talk about acts in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, persons, inclinations, and actions.
Right, and persons are never bad, never bad. Persons do bad, but they are never bad. To be a person is always a good.
Yeah. By the way, though, so I definitely talk about ambiguity or deliberate ambiguity, even in the person of a fellow like Father James Martin.
Okay.
So he appears to me to be deliberately misleading people.
Okay.
With respect to what the church teaches, with respect to
chastity,
unchaste behavior.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Right. He will have to give an account for this, but he's not the only one. But he is an example of this. I would say, however, Cy, that the problem is really not people like Father James Martin, although he's exacerbating the problem. The problem is Christians and Catholics who have stopped getting married. And I'm quite serious.
I know, but this is your drum. I love it when you beat it.
But
get married, people. Come on.
It happens to be true that we are at about, among Catholics, at about a fourth of the rate of marriages as we were in the 70s, among Catholics. So if Catholics would just get married and live the fullness of the sacrament and the fullness of the church's teaching about the sacrament, including contraception, by the way, and its intrinsic evil— that is not practicing it and being open to life, all of this other stuff would fade back to the small part of the world that it occupies.
Yeah.
So right. I just I, 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 What I want to see is a resurgence of marriage.
Yeah.
We've turned our back on marriage.
And could we also include with that a recognition that the Lord taught chastity? There's no way you can get around that. It's like, you know, saying that Jesus didn't teach love for the poor. But he did.
Yes.
And he taught chastity, and he did it because he loves us, not because he hates us. And we act like we're ashamed of that. That's the Lord taught us to be chaste.
As my brother says, chastity is part of the good news.
A good, a good and important part of the good news.
Yeah.
Want to move on to some positive trends?
I just wanted to say again, I think people should get married.
Okay.
Yes. Or go to the seminary. Or the religious life. Those are your choices.
Get married or go to the seminary or religious life.
Yes, those are your choices.
Oh, yeah. We got to help them too, though. Like Tim and Valerie Staples have done this thing where they invite young men and women over for dinner. They get like, I think, 15 men and 15 women, and they just invite them all over for dinner with the express idea of, come here and find some other Catholic people that you might be able to marry.
I spoke last week to the young Catholic professionals here in San Diego.
Yeah.
Guess what I said?
Get married.
Get married. Yeah, really.
I told the boys.
And you said it to the young men.
I told the boys. Yeah. I said, grow up.
All right, number three on the positive trends then. We'll move over to positive trends. These are, we're reviewing the year 2019. These are positive trends of 2019 as voted on by the members of the Catholic Answers Live Radio Club. Number three, and I'm very grateful for this, but I do think this comes because we have a self-selecting sample of people. Number three, positive trend, all the great stuff from Catholic Answers. People voted for School of Apologetics. People voted for Catholic Answers Focus, which I'm super proud of because we've really worked hard to make Focus better.
What is Focus?
Focus is one of the podcasts we do.
I mean,
here.
I know the answer to the question.
Yeah, I know you do. Catholic Answers Focus comes out every Wednesday, and it's a podcast on apologetics, which is for people who would like basic apologetic answers that they can share with other people. So it's for education in apologetics. But the School of Apologetics is out. There's the wonderful Bible stuff that John Sorensen has been just...
Bible Navigator,
killing himself to get onto our website. The website is better. So I'm very grateful that people chose great stuff from Catholic Answers as the number three positive trend of the year.
Yay, that's great.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it too.
Yeah. All right. Number two...
And so thank you to all of our donors who make that possible, because without them, the work stops.
More people going to Latin Mass is number two.
I love it.
What do you make of that, Tim?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Why do you think you're the wrong person to ask?
Well, I'm a child of the Novus Ordo. My family converted when I was 6 years old in the early 60s. And really, I prefer the Novus Ordo. Isn't it a horrible thing to say here at Catholic Answers?
No, it is not at all a horrible thing to say.
Just a second.
Thank God you answered that way.
Most of the masses in the Catholic Answers Chapel are ordinary form.
They are.
Right. And
Ad Orientem, I might add, which is wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, we have extraordinary form, I'd say, I don't know, maybe 2-3 times a month.
Yeah. But so what do you make then of as a person who finds the Novus Ordo Mass to be the preferred Mass for yourself personally, what do you make of a lot of people saying more people going to Latin Mass is a positive trend for the year?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And let me say in the same breath, I don't appreciate the Latin Mass probably because I haven't worked at it. You know, I haven't
given
it a chance.
Yeah, you do
have to work at it.
Right.
You have to give it a chance. You have to follow it for a while until you get into the flow of it. And I have never done that. So, but I know... from my own experience that there's a reverence and a beauty to it that you just don't get in any other form.
And a theological richness,
yes.
I would add. And
I don't like to put it in competition with the Novus Ordo, though.
Okay,
like,
let's not.
I think all of that is true because it's the Mass. I mean, and it's the Mass that over centuries developed all these beautiful habits. And the Novus Ordo, it does need a little more time to develop some... better, you know, like the Novus Ordo is a work in progress. I mean, a liturgy is always a work in progress, though. But I don't like juxtaposing them against one another.
One thing that we do see is priests who will take grave liberties with the rubrics in the Novus Ordo This is something you do not see at all
the
immemorial rite.
Because most of them who celebrate it can't really speak Latin, so they have to actually follow
and
the
actually
text.
That is false. I ask any priest who's listening, if you are, for lack of a better word, monkeying with the liturgy, why are you doing it?
I know. Stop it.
Please stop.
It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the church.
Is it your board? Is it you think that you know better than what the church has prescribed?
Yeah. Do you know something too? It's the very priest who will tell you clericalism is a big problem, who will go and monkey with the mass.
Yeah.
That is the height of clericalism.
Yep.
You as a priest are deciding, I'm the priest, therefore I get to do whatever I want during the consecration or something.
I like to quote Father Zulsdorf here, do the red say the black.
All right, the number one, but if I may say, I do think that, we got to do it when we come back. Sorry. We'll get to the number one positive trend when we come back. Chris Check, our guest, Tim Ryland, our guest. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we're going to wrap up 2019 pretty soon with the Catholic Person of the Year and the Story of the Year from the Catholic perspective.
Hi, this is Father Robert Spitzer, president of the Majus Center of Reason and Faith, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're doing the year in review today as 2019 approaches its end and 2020 comes into view. 2020 comes into focus. 2020 becomes, see what I'm doing?
Focus.
Yeah. I'm doing 2020 puns.
Oh, I see. Okay.
2020 comes into view.
Oh, because our address is 2020 Gillespie?
No, because your eyes, when you have
2020.
See, this is what Darren said to me. He said that.
Okay, I wasn't getting it at all.
Darren says he's not looking forward to the year 2020 because it's going to be just puns on perfect vision and sight and all that
and
the whole year.
The street address of Catholic Answers.
Right. Don't give that out, man.
Some scary people. 2020 Gillespie Way.
Come visit the
building and watch the radio show.
Oh, we love it when people come watch the radio show. We love it. And we have the beautiful scents of fresh cookies sometimes. And I'm just saying that because Nick's eating a cookie right now while he records this. We're doing the positive trends of the year right now. What we're doing is reviewing the year with the help of members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club who gave us their answers to questions. And we left them completely open-ended. We did not give them choices. We said, here's a blank, fill it in. What's the positive trend of the year? The number three positive trend of the year was all this great stuff going on at Catholic Answers, and we're very grateful. We know that the sample is from our own friends, so thank you for saying that. More people going to Latin Mass was number two. Number one, pro-life victories. Mm. Number one positive trend of the year.
Glory.
Yes.
I know, what can you say? It's great. Like, it's just great what's happening. I feel like for a lot of years, I don't know how you guys felt. You felt like, someday this is all going to pay off, but another terrible year for the pro-life movement. Another mm-hmm. terrible year. The judges did some yep. idiotic thing, like give us the Casey decision or something. And year after year, you slog away, and you just kind of. But it stayed a seed more than a flower, mm-hmm. and now it feels like there's a little bit of flowering going on. This might, like, the fruit might be being born. Am I doing enough floral and agricultural metaphors there?
What's going to happen is there we will hit a kind of a moment in the culture side, not in politics. To be sure,
yeah, that's right.
There may be a court decision, or one state or another may pass a law that will the courts will uphold or something like that. So to be sure, in the political realm, this will be fought. But more and more people are going to start to realize that abortion is the taking of an innocent human person's life.
Yeah,
and they're going to continue to react to it, and it's getting harder and harder to defend. And God bless Trent Horn, who's just well, you mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm.
But Trent Horn, among a million others too. Mm-hmm. Though, I mean, there's so many great, like, when we're in Australia, and we sit down and talk with Monica Dumont.
She's great.
From the Diocese of Sydney, or Archdiocese of Sydney.
Yeah. Yep.
And she's the pro-life spokeswoman.
Canonist.
You couldn't go, I mean, like, this person in Australia fighting what looks like a rear guard action, because Australia is so secular. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go, I bet you couldn't go anywhere in the world and find a more articulate and just inspiring spokesperson for life. Like, I feel like there's these people around the world. And she gave me a great deal of hope. I mean, there's a lot of...
We did a radio show with her. Yeah, look it up, my friends.
We did. And the... I don't know. If the bishops around the world would listen to people like Monica Dumont, we'd be in great shape. Just learn how to speak from her, how she talks about the issue. It's magnificent. Yeah. No fear in her at all.
No.
There's not a lick of fear
in her. No, and you know what she said, Si, that I really loved in one of our Q&A panels? She said, and by the way, if you're not married, but your sister is or something, be a great auntie and go and take care of the kids.
Yeah, because you were probably promoting marriage as you always
oddly
do.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, if your sister has kids or your brother has kids or something and you're not married, you know, babysit for them. Encourage people who are having babies.
All right. We've done our positive trend of the year. We've done our negative trend of the year. We've done what we have left to do. We've done the Catholic media outlet of the year. Turned out to be us.
Wow.
From our own, the members of our own radio club.
Barely.
Yeah, I understand Michael Voris voted for us.
Thank you, Michael Voris. Yes. We appreciate that. Yeah.
Did Michael Voris's hair come in at some point? In that poll?
That Michael Voris's hair, was it really?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got wonderful
people do
hair.
Make smart aleck remarks on these open-ended polls sometimes.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So most inspiring story of the year we've done, but now we've got three categories to go. The word or phrase of the year, wanted to gauge what people were thinking of in that regard. And then the big ones, Catholic story of the year, and the one that everyone waits for every year. It's the big one every year, Catholic person of the year. Who will be named Catholic Person of the Year by the several scores of voters of Catholic Answers Radio Club.
Is it Nick Chamberlain?
It should be.
It should be.
What a good man Nick Chamberlain
is.
He's young, father of two.
Amen. Got married.
Got married. He's so talented musically and so talented as a sound man. He's got these. I just think. What more could you say? He should be Catholic person of the year.
I agree.
All right, all three of us, we're all voting for Nick, or you got somebody else?
I actually do have somebody else.
Oh, come on. You can't vote for your wife. You can't vote for Jackie. All right, but now we're going to do word or phrase of the year. You ready?
Hit me.
All right, word or phrase of the year. This also was a very diffuse one, although towards the top, it kind of... there were a couple of big winners here, but a lot of stuff. One person chose... This makes me so ashamed to be Catholic. One person chose Jesus. Well, but that's because it's not of the year, that word or phrase. The name of Jesus is every year. But I'm happy that person, we had people picking Forgiveness, hope, trust, all of these are beautiful Catholic words or phrases, but I think they might slightly miss the spirit of the thing. Like, the certain things stand out at a certain moment in time, and that's what we were looking for. And so the top four, I'll give you the top four. Number four was Real Presence Eucharist. I put those together.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think those were?
Well, I think we touched on it earlier. There's a lack of understanding and therefore belief in the real presence, apparently.
Do you know, every time I ask you a question, you first give me a reason why you shouldn't answer the question, and then you answer the question. You're like, well, I think we touched on that earlier, but I'll answer your question. You do that. I just noticed that.
Do I really?
That's a Tim Ryland thing. Yeah. Well, here's why I shouldn't answer that question, but I'll give you my answer.
Okay.
So go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you by making fun of you. I'm a terrible person. I feel so small right now.
Everybody should buy a copy of the Catholic Answers 20 Answers on the Eucharist. Buy boxes of them and pass them out to people.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Before I so rudely interrupted you, I'm feeling so bad right now.
Good.
I should, huh? Number two word or phrase of the year. I'm going to throw this one to you, Tim.
Okay.
Ryland, please.
Wait, did you skip number three?
No, number three was okay. Oh, no, number four. I did skip number three. This is number three. Sorry. Number four was Real Presence of Eucharist. Number three is either the word synod or synodality. What do you make of that, Tim?
My synodality has been very low.
I've got a bad case of synodality. What do you make of that?
It means we're having too many of them.
Yes. Exactly.
Really? I'm you guys sorry. Feel that way?
Yeah, I was confused about Amazon having a synod. It's like, why would Amazon, don't they sell books?
I thought it was going to be in the Amazon.
Yeah, right.
I honestly did think that, and I honestly saw the word Amazon several times in a headline and had to translate out of the sales company Amazon into, oh yeah, there's a place called the Amazon. Like, I actually had to do that. But I don't feel opposed to synods or synodality. I feel like we just need to get some, this is a bad thing to say, we need some better church leaders before we fully commit to this.
You know, there's a youth synod going on right now in the preparatory sessions or exploratory sessions, whatever they call it, for a youth synod here in the San Diego diocese that Bishop McElroy called for. And in my parish, Our Lady of Grace, run by Father Peter McGuine, great pastor, he had a mini youth synod there. And you know what the two things that the youth asked for at Our Lady of Grace? More confessions during the week, not on Saturdays, during the week, and more apologetics training. And Father Peter reported this to me, and he said, and by the way, they use the word apologetics.
Wow.
So
they want to know their faith.
So that's a synod I'm behind so far.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, Jesus is a great parish. They already do offer confessions three times a week.
He does. God bless him.
Yeah,
yeah. Number two. I'm sorry. I've completely messed this up. Number three was Real Presence Eucharist. Number two was synod or synodality. Oh. This is number one. Okay. I'm sorry. Can you guess at all? Do you want to take a guess at what number one was? Word or phrase coming from the Catholic experience this year, from Catholic people.
It's got to be one thing.
Pachamama.
Pachamama!
In a landslide. Pachamama was the word or phrase of the year. Now,
it's so fun to say.
It is. Pachamama is awesome. And Darren.
There's a restaurant.
Darren found
a
restaurant. Yeah, he said there's a restaurant called Pachamama here in San Diego. So we're going to do our... one day.
Our Christmas party's there, I believe.
Yeah, no, we're not having the Christmas party at Pachamama.
Si, when I was in Rome with you, I looked around for a reproduction of Pachamama for the Catholic Answers Chapel, but I couldn't find one.
I feel like you are not taking this seriously enough. What hit
do
a
I
nerve?
Have to, do I have to state that I'm being funny here?
No, you do not. People know that. What hit a nerve? Why did Pachamama hit a nerve? And partly... always these things are biased towards things that happened at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If it had been at the beginning of the year, it would have been something different. But certainly over the last half of the year, Pachamama, the word hit a nerve with Catholics. What do you think that's about?
Well, it wasn't the word. It was this statue that was out of place in Christian worship. And that's what the reaction was to. I don't know where the word came from or who first named it Pachamama. And
no, nor do I.
I think it's the word. I love that word. I'm going to name my next kid Pachamama. It, not have any more children, by the way, so relax.
It was a dog. We should name one of our Cavaliers Pachamama.
Pachamama. Yeah.
No, the statue had no place in Christian worship.
Of course
there.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you guys are completely unambiguous about that. And I feel like that's why it was galvanizing, was this was something that was not ambiguous. It was something people could go, no.
Yep.
You know, the average Catholic who knows that we are a monotheistic Trinitarian religion and that Christ is God, said, no, I don't want that. I want God.
Yeah, something from a pagan pantheon. Or we don't even know. We've had a thousand ambiguous. Different...
Yeah, we don't even know what it is, but we don't want it because...
So let's not have ambiguity. Let's have clarity.
Yeah.
Jesus was very clear. He was clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that got him in a lot of trouble, all that clarity.
That's right.
All right. So that was word or phrase of the year. Now we go to Catholic story of the year, but we have to take a quick break, and then we're going to do all in one segment. We're going to do the two big ones, Catholic story of the year 2019 and Catholic person of the year 2019.
Wow.
Just so you know, neither of you made it.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study. A nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We do have a little bit of fun here as we head towards the end of the year, as we do the closeout of the year, and we get to have a little bit of fun. And we there's a lot of serious things to discuss, but we can't always be mired in grimness about these things. So welcome two very intelligent, but I also find very entertaining men to help us go through the year. One of them, Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. The other, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, neither of whom is the Catholic person of the year. I'm just going to give that away right now. Let's do Catholic story of the year. You ready?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a few that got a low number of votes, but I want to just kind of run through these, and you grab any that you want to talk about. The Covington Catholic kids.
We already talked about that, but here's why I'm going to talk about it some more.
I'm going to run through the... You guys are mean. Covington Catholic kids, the survey on communion, the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral, Joe Biden being refused communion, Archbishop Sheen, his canonization's on, it's off, Cardinal Pell and his ongoing, what I would call persecution, and Cardinal Newman being made a saint. Those were ones that got multiple votes, but they didn't make the top three.
The Newman canonization should be getting more attention than it did. And by the way, God bless courageous priest who withheld communion from Biden, inevitably knowing that it was going to be made a news story of, and that certainly was not this priest's intent. But that was a fraternal correction that needed to be made.
I have to say I agree with you on Newman. That it's such a having Newman as a saint is such a glory for the church. It's like it's just a wonderful, wonderful gift to the church, and I'm so happy. And Sheen will be too. But Newman is he's a very special figure in the history of the church. He occupies a very, very special place in the English-speaking world, in England in particular, mm-hmm. but among all of us who speak English, Newman is a towering, towering figure, a son of the English world to be very proud of.
The great theologian of the modern age.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And a guy who, if you think, if you love Chesterton, if you love C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, try to imagine a history where any of those, Belloc or any of them exist without Newman.
No.
It doesn't happen. Thank God for Cardinal John Henry Newman. And I realize that I mentioned one guy who wasn't Catholic there, but we throw him in there because everybody loves him.
He's an honorary
Everybody
Catholic.
Loves him. But
and certainly my family, my father was an Anglican priest who began reading Newman and eventually became a Catholic. So that he's holds a special place in our hearts.
Lewis would have become a Catholic if he didn't have these Ulster prejudices against Catholics.
Deep Irish. Yeah.
That's a strange thing, though. I mean, he comes at a moment in history where that tension between English, the North and the South in Ireland is a very hard thing to overcome. And you can understand, you have sympathy for it. Mm-hmm. Without justifying it, you can have sympathy for the man.
I like pointing to Lewis when Protestants try to defend contraception. You get Protestant enthusiasts for C.S. Lewis. Well, read what he said about contraception and the abolition of man.
Or what he said about purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. Or in his space trilogy, in the third of the, I've forgotten, is it That Hideous Strength? Now, what's the third one called?
That Hideous Strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we come to the top three Catholic news stories of the year. Number three, and these also, the votes bunched around these three. Okay. Number three, Pachamama.
Not number one?
No.
Oh, come on.
Not number one, no. Sorry. You really seem sad about that.
I am.
Number two, something we have not spent a lot of time talking about. We have talked about Pachamama, so I'll go to number two. And maybe you want to say something about this. Maybe you just want to acknowledge it and move on. I don't know. But in various ways, a good number of voters talked about the ongoing abuse scandal, the crisis in the church, Cardinal McCarrick. They put it in different ways, but a very significant number two as story of the year.
We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to pray for priests. At Catholic Answers, we pray every day when we do Divine Mercy, we pray a prayer for priests. And not only priests, but priests in formation. We have to pray for vocations. The church depends on priests. It's the model that our Lord gave us. And there's a shortage of them, and there's a shortage of good ones. And so we've got to pray. And I'm sorry, Si, if you have a large Catholic family, you will have priests come out of it. So again, marriage is part of this story.
Get married and have babies seems to be your theme for the close of the year.
Part of the story, Si.
All right. So to all of you who are going to propose on New Year's Eve, Chris is backing you.
Yep.
Do you want to say more about it, or should I?
I would also, just as a footnote about the McCarrick story, is that he seems to be living a life of a penitent now.
I hope.
We need to remember that there is redemption always, no matter how horrific sins that we all commit might be. There's redemption, and you pray, hope and pray that he's finding
one only needs to turn. One only needs to turn. It doesn't take more than that.
We want everyone to be saved. I would also add that Cardinal Pell is the sacrificial lamb here. He is unjustly in jail because of the sins of his brothers.
No doubt.
Number one Catholic story of the year. And this one, I don't know, maybe I cheated a little bit on, I don't know, the Amazon Synod, though. It got a lot of votes, the Amazon Synod. And I say I cheated because I split up Pachamama and the Amazon Synod, and maybe they go together. But in any case, the happenings of the autumn were a big, big deal in people's minds. Do you want to say any more about that? Or?
Well, the story's not over.
Yeah,
we have to. I think the thing to do is to wait and see.
It also, I want to say, it points to another story that I think is a big story, which is the growing influence of social media in among Catholic people. This is a story that, and I mean all of it, whether it's guys doing YouTube videos that people watch every week that are a 1 hour screed against Pope Francis, or I'm not against screeds, but sometimes you need a screed, but that's what they are. Or people reposting things on, and then certain stories catch fire.
It's possible that in certain circumstances, married clergy in extremis may be helpful for the widespread or for the increased dispensing of the sacraments, but it's not a solution to the vocation crisis.
Yeah, that's...
It's not.
Fair enough. No.
I was just going to say, people need to make, that's an important distinction. People seem to think it's kind of a wedge issue, and it really isn't.
I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know the mind of the people who craft some of these preparatory documents. I'm suspicious of it. But we have to wait to see what the final document says, and then in the long run, the solution to the vocation crisis is marriage.
The top three, I'm just going to give you the top three person of the year, the Catholic person of the year as voted on by members of the cat. And you can give your own if you all disagree with this or you have someone else, but the top three.
Okay.
Number one is going to grab you. I feel certain there's some, this is a controversial and maybe surprising choice, but number three, Bishop Robert Barron. People love them some Bishop Robert Barron.
Yeah.
But he wrote a letter on suffering, and several people mentioned that.
His letter to the suffering church was very good.
Yeah, and so I think that made a lot.
I recommend it to everyone listening.
Just below Robert Barron, didn't make my top three, Bishop Sarah as well. Cardinal mm-hmm. Sarah, excuse mm-hmm. me. So I just want you to know that.
But he is a profound mind.
So Barron is number three, but I'll tell you what. With those two guys, you're like, hey, that's pretty good. No, we're doing pretty good. Yeah. Like that's right. The church is in good hands if that's the kind of leaders we've got. Even if you disagree with them on this or that, mm-hmm. They're not going to ground the ship. Number two, I don't know what to say about this. This is number two. Number two, Catholic person of the year, Pope Francis. He's number two. Somehow that seems disrespectful to me, but yeah, he's the number two Catholic person of the year. What do you make of that? I guess you probably just makes you want to know who number one is.
Pachamama.
No, Pachamama okay. is not Catholic Dang person it. Of the year. Nice try, though.
All right.
I want to say thank you to Pope Francis for bringing Our Lady of Loreto back onto the universal calendar December 10th.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Do you want to take a guess at number one?
I do not. No. What?
Can't think of who number one Catholic person of the year would be in review.
I have a nomination for, but this person is unknown to most of the world.
Who would it be?
Grace Williams.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Okay, so you go, if you're like, why did he mention Grace Williams? Just go to childrenoftheimmaculateheart.com.
Living, breathing saint here in San Diego, mm-hmm. rescuing minor girls from street trafficking and trying to build a refuge for them. And the state of California is stopping her because she said she won't drive her clients to get abortions
yep.
or transgender therapy.
Just look up Children of the Immaculate Heart and you can find out more about
Look up the San Diego Union Tribune from several Sundays ago. There's a front page article about her and they did and here's some honest journalism. The young lady who wrote the piece did a very good job. But this woman is a saint and I'm honored to know her.
Does anybody want to guess or do you want me to give you the Catholic person of the year? It's bigger than Time's person of the year. People wait for the Catholic Answers person of the year with much more anticipation than Time's person of the year.
Is it controversial? Is this person
I found it surprising myself. I found it surprising, but I don't know how controversial it
would be. Were they in the news before this year?
No.
Is this person? Oh, okay.
No. Catholic person of the year. I'm doing a drum roll. Alexander Schugel.
Wait.
Getting more votes than Pope Francis.
Isn't he the guy that heaved Pachamama
He's the guy that threw Pachamama into the river. He won.
Wow. That's kind of a vote for Pachamama, actually.
I don't mean to laugh. I mean, but it's just that, really, how much Pachamama can we get, people? Like, other stuff happened in the world. But the Alexander...
Is he going to be doing, like, a world speaking
tour? You know
what?
I don't know. Was going
to
say...
Do we have to give him some kind of award now that he won it?
He has gone on a speaking tour of the U.S.
Has he really?
Yes, yeah. And supported by people like our friend Taylor Marshall.
Oh, I'm looking at Crux News right now. It says, controversial Pachamama thief goes on U.S. tour.
There's a certain self-aggrandizement.
Now, Crux put that in quotes, Pachamama thief, by the way.
Kind of. Oh. Okay. Anyway, so that's a little bit...
Interesting thing about that church, Our Lady of Transpatina, where the statue was stored or taken from.
It's not locked.
They don't lock anything in Rome.
The dome is lower. It doesn't have one of those cylinders that supports a dome because they shot artillery from Castel San Angelo over to the Janiculum Hill.
Only Chris Cech could tell you these kinds of details.
He knows all the artillery facts of Catholic history.
Rome. Yeah.
Chris Cech, president of Catholic Answers, thank you very much.
I'm happy to be here, Si.
Tim Ryland.
Always happy.
Editor of Catholic Answers Magazine.
Blessed New Year to all of our listeners.
Amen.
Amen. And don't forget, the first is a solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. So if it's within the realm of possibility, make it to Mass.
And pray for Catholic Answers.
I feel like I get to say it all year, but I'm so happy to say it. God has been so good to us, all of us, by giving us life for another year. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next year on Catholic Answers Live.